Check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, how do you continue from that? Honor Kim, do you want to maybe come and pray for me? Is that cool? That is very cool. Come.
Thank you, Lord. Father, you're the reason we are, but I thank you for sending a young man who's made himself available, opened his heart to hear the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit uses him as the vessel to bring about a shift and a change in each one of us. We know, Lord, those who are of us who have committed our lives to you are filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit is there to assist in changing us, convicting us, and building us closer and closer to you. So use this young man, Lord. I pray for anointing over him. I pray that everything that he says and does comes from you. He leans not on his own wisdom or his own strength, but he just allows the Holy Spirit to flow through him so that we may all be touched. So Holy Spirit, work in us, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, guys, hello. We've still got 2 minutes left of this morning, so I'll say good morning. What a privilege to be up here this morning just to share the Word of God with us. And even in this worship this morning, it's been such an incredible time of just seeing Jesus, just being in His presence. And as the guys have been sharing already this morning, how much the Lord is really doing something in this season. Even as Joey was preaching last week, so amazingly about abiding in the Lord, remaining in Him, that we may bear much fruit. And it's forming a part of what God is actually saying to us as a whole church across Josh Gen, that actually we're in a season right now of the Lord wanting us to remain in Him, that we are in His presence, that we take up our role as being priests of God, and that we have hearts that are pure. So today, in the same vein that we've been going in, we really felt like we wanted to not rush on, and not just jump ahead of what we feel the Lord doing, but actually give time for the Holy Spirit to massage this value into every single heart. Because how easily can we can hear something and then we move on to the next week, and then who can actually remember what we heard last week? So let's really have our hearts open today to really hear from the Lord, hear from the Word. We can miss out today if our hearts are not open to receive. So let's have great soil in our hearts today that we want to listen to the Lord, that the seed goes deeply in our heart, and that this is getting nourished so that we can bear much fruit going forward for the Lord. Amen. I know Joey mentioned this last week, but I really felt like it's still such a focus for today. So the main text that we're going to be looking at today is in Luke chapter 10 with Mary and Martha. So let's just read it together. Looking at it from verse 38, yeah. Let's read it from there. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" It can seem like a very relevant complaint. Chris was saying earlier on about being discontent. There we go. So tell her then to help me. And then moving on. But the Lord answered her. And I love how Jesus answers questions. He always goes for the heart. "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not get taken away from her." What an incredible passage of scripture, guys. And as I've just been reflecting on this and really just praying that the Lord would massage this into my heart, there are some incredible things that I want to just share with us. And starting from this point where you can see the picture very clearly. I love how the Bible really describes this. You can see it's a busy home. You can see Martha serving. Imagine this is like a comm night. Imagine you've got people around that you're hosting and there's so many things to do. I need to get the tea and coffee out. I need to get the biscuits going. Somebody's eaten all of the Oreos. Getting stressed. And imagine if you're the only person serving. Imagine if your sister who shares the home with you is not helping you, but she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. I can kind of understand what she's feeling. I can understand that this seems justified. Lord, why is she not helping me? But I love how Jesus responds. Notice this. Every time Jesus has a question come towards him, very often he doesn't answer the question straight up. Very often he sees deeper. He's God. He knows. He sees our hearts. So he sees the heart behind the question. He said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things. You're deeply troubled. You're distracted with your much serving. And in the season, I remember Joey was preaching last week about not being busy, how busyness can take us away from focusing on Jesus. Busyness can take us away from focusing on Jesus. And he says to Martha that Mary has actually chosen the good portion. I'm going to unpack this a little bit more as we go through today. But what is he saying here? He's not saying that serving is bad. Serving is amazing. Serving is necessary. But the reality here is that if I am serving before I'm having a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to do it with the wrong heart. I'm going to get anxious. I'm going to get very troubled and distracted by so many things. And guys, that's for all of us, really. Like, even as Gavin was sharing today, like, we every single day of our lives, we have real challenges. We do. And there's real things that we need to commit ourselves to. But the heart of Jesus is saying, first have a relationship with me. First abide in me, as you've been saying for the past 2 weeks. Abide in me, and then you'll bear much fruit. Man, guys, we get so anxious. We get so overwhelmed and, oh, I need to do this, and oh my goodness. And the Lord is saying only one thing is needed. Yes, everything's important, but what is the priority? He is our priority. FaceTime with him is our priority. Guys, I heard somebody say that Christianity without Christ at the center is like an ocean with no water. Christianity without Christ at the center is like an empty ocean. It's got the form, but there's no substance. And we need not just the appearance of godliness, but we need his power. We need his presence. There's no substitute for spending FaceTime with Jesus, guys. And hear my heart here. I'm not coming with a heavy thing. It's really, that's not my heart here. I'm wanting to encourage all of us that as we've been worshiping, as you've been hearing about the word, we're responding to a God who has this desire for us. All of us are included in this thing. Don't think, oh, this is just for the guy sitting next to me. No, God is calling each and every one of us individually to not just be in his house, but to be in his presence, to be by his feet. Little interesting thing here as I was studying on this. In the Jewish tradition, to sit at somebody's feet was not just because there weren't enough chairs. To sit at somebody's feet was actually a position of humility, a position of saying, I want to learn from your teaching. I respect you. I'm coming in low because I value what you have to share with me. So that was the heart, and the position of Mary. It wasn't just, oh, I like being around you. You make me feel good. This is, I see who you are. I see that you're the Son of God. I see that you're the King. And I need to move on. But you hear what I'm saying? Jesus is our main priority. And you may be saying to me, David, there's so many things I need to do in my life. And yes, we all do. There's countless priorities that we all have to do. And God has called us to be faithful with so many things. How do we make this work? How do I fit Jesus into my busy life? Well, the reality is I don't fit Jesus into my busy life. What does the Bible say? In Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all else will be added unto you. Mike Davies had an amazing analogy about this with looking at the solar system. So how does the solar system work? You've got the sun in the center, and every other planet revolves around it in its right place. So I feel like the Lord is wanting us to say for our lives, how do we look at priorities? It's not everything in a bowl. Jesus is one of the things I give my time to. No, Jesus is first. Jesus is above everything else. I seek him first. And then when he's in his rightful place, when he's on the throne, every other planet can very easily and in the right place and with balance revolve around him. Does that make sense? And are we going to get it right all the time? No. It's a journey for all of our lives, guys. But that's why I'm glad that we can be together. We can help each other along this journey. But the one thing I wanted to say about seeking first the kingdom is to seek first the kingdom is to seek first the king. Seek first the king. The encouragement that I feel the Lord wants us to do as we're abiding in him, it's we are not only just being in church. It's great that we're in church. It's great that we're in comm groups. It's great that we are surrounded by the people of God. That's amazing. But am I plugged into him personally? Is he my king? Is he the one that I'm devoting my time to? And there's an encouragement coming for all of us that, great, it's amazing that we are in the household of God, but God wants to know each and every one of us personally and individually. That we can remain in him, not just remaining in his stuff. You know what I mean? It happens so easily. It happens so easily for all of us. But Jesus must not just be one of my priorities, he needs to be my one thing. Jesus said to Martha that there's so many things, but only one thing is needed. What is that one thing? I love how David puts it so beautifully in Psalm 27. King David, king over Israel, incredible, incredible leader. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. So David understood that there was this concept of the one thing. And just to further bring this concept through, I like to look at it this way. So you can picture David in this example. Think about the context. He's at this point, he's not the shepherd boy anymore. He's saying, he's the king over Israel. And you can imagine how many priorities he would have on his plate. How many people would be coming to him with genuine problems. Not just, oh man, I stubbed my toe today, shame. Real problems. They were at war. They had people fighting them all of the time. He had a whole kingdom of people to govern well and to be faithful with. So David, are you saying you're just throwing all of your other priorities away? You're saying one thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek. What are you saying? He's not saying that he's forgetting about everything else that's important. He's saying that all of it pales in comparison to his priority of the Lord Jesus. God is my one thing. God is above everything else in my life, and that is not going to move. What happens when you take the sun out of the solar system? You don't have a solar system. What happens to us if the sun goes away? We cease to exist. When Jesus, the sun, is at the center of my life, everything else will come into its right place. The trees, everything will get sunlight. It will get sustenance. It'll get the light and the time and the priority that it needs. But the earth cannot be in the center of the universe, in the center of the solar system. Why? It's unable to give life. It's unable to give light. But Jesus is the king, and he's the one who's able to sustain and to bring life. And he needs to be the king on the throne of our lives. Let him be on his rightful place that he deserves. The last thing I want to say about David is that I love the example. I love the picture of this because it's so relatable. David comes into being the king of Israel. Wow, he's got this track record of winning battles, and what an incredible young guy who's coming into rulership, and now he's finally got the position of authority. What's the first thing that he does? Let's go get the ark. Let us go get the presence of God. For those of you who don't know, the Ark of the Covenant was a literal box that the physical manifest presence of God dwelt in the Old Testament. And for 20 years before then, the previous king before David did not treasure the presence of God. He neglected it. It was left in the field somewhere like kilometers away. And the previous king didn't care. He's like, I'm going to build my kingdom now. And it failed. It failed miserably. But David comes in with a heart after God and says, I don't want to do anything before I get the presence of God with us. David, there's a battle coming around you. There's people who are literally fighting us right now. What do you mean, bro? This is crazy. He says, I'm going to get the presence of God before anything else. This one thing that I desire. This only do I seek. God, I want to gaze upon your beauty every day of my life, Lord. This is the heart that God is wanting us to have. Our families, our studies, our jobs, our work, our relationships, our businesses, they are very important, but they're not the one thing. Are we hearing this? But when Jesus is on the throne, when God is my one thing, then everything else finds its rightful place. And I'm not going to try look to my job to be my God, not going to look to my relationship to be my God, not going to, you hear what I'm saying? Everything in its rightful place. Interestingly, just a freebie there, I just realized it now in worship. What happened when the presence of God, the ark, was captured and it was brought before the idols in Dagon? What happened? All of the other idols fell down on the ground and crashed. It's a beautiful little picture. That actually, God, nothing can stand up towards you, Lord, even if I try. Even if I try and elevate my career and my relationship and all these things that are important, if I try and elevate it above you, it's going to crash. Let's keep God as our one thing. You see, there are many things that are pushing for our attention. Every day, I mean, you just have to spend 30 seconds on your phone. The WhatsApps, the messages, the Instagram comments, like all these things. Like, there's countless things in our generation right now that make it harder than ever to be focused and devoted to the Lord. We live in a distracted generation, and that's the reality that we're around. Martha was distracted by many things. And I think it's helpful for us to realize that in order for us to go forward in this area, we have to recognize that this is what's around us. There was the thing that Joey mentioned last week about being pulled in different directions. That's one of the meanings of distraction. It's not just, oh, I lost focus for 5 seconds, then I'm getting back into my thing. One of the definitions of being distracted is to be pulled in different directions. What's pulling on my focus? What's pulling on my life? What is tugging me like this big tug of war with 5 teams on different sides? Let's be aware of these things, and let's keep them in their right place, because God needs to be my God. Even on the topic of remaining, I love the picture there of, if you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. Even with the context there of a vine, like a grapevine, it's remaining in the soil. It's plugged into the soil. The picture is not that I come to church on a Sunday, I plug into the Lord, then I plug out again, I go live my life this week, and then great, see what come, plug into the Lord again and unplug. We know the picture. But the reality here is that whatever we plug into, it's what we're trying to get nourishment from. What am I plugging into? Unknowingly, it's very easy in the slippery slope to go from, oh, I'm just going to spend a little bit of time on YouTube and, oh, what a nice video. Oh, that's cool. We all know. Before we know it, it's like, oh my goodness, it's been an hour. Slippery slope can very easily take something from the periphery and bring it right into the focus point. Let's be aware of this. The Bible says we need to be very wise. Watch over our lives. Watch ourselves closely. In community, like, I'm so grateful for the guys around me who see the things that I don't see. Hey, Dave, are you aware that actually this seems like it's distracting you a bit? Oh, really? Oh, thanks. I didn't see that. Thanks. It's amazing that we can do this thing together. Yeah. There's many things that are in my life, but where is my heart? What is tugging on my main focus? What is tugging on the place that I try and find the source of my life from? It can only ever be Jesus. Nothing else will ever come close. As we're talking about following Jesus, being plugged into him and remaining in him, I'm not going to lie, it's not easy. At no point in this process is it supposed to be simple. Sometimes I wish it was. Sometimes I wish following Jesus would just be like snapping your finger and then, great, wow, you're bearing fruit immediately. Well done, bro. Awesome. Don't you just love it when the tree just skips the growth phase and just like, here's a thousands of, unfortunately, that's a unicorn. That's not real. Unfortunately, that's not actually a thing. Although I wish it was. Jesus is wanting to teach us in this season, not only just the theology of abiding in me, but through the process of actually waiting on him to bear fruit in us. Does that make sense? Nothing goes overnight. And even by having a preach on this last week as well as this week, it's a practical example of that. God is wanting to show us that how does fruit grow? It grows slowly. But the reality is this, if you remain in me, you, It's not you might bear fruit. Maybe let's see what happens next year. You will bear fruit. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. What a promise. What an incredible promise. That as we simply say, God, I'm not moving. I'm going to remain in you, God. Come rain or shine, I am not going anywhere else. I'm going to remain in you. And see, we will bear fruit. It's true. We've seen it. Thank you, God, that you've been growing fruit in us. Thank you, God, that as I look back on my life, that he's faithful. The plant doesn't get any rewards. It's not like, well done, little grape tree. Well done. You remain so well. Now, what did it do? It just stayed there. Well done for not jumping out. Let's remain in the Lord. I won't read the scripture here, but this stood out to me as well from John chapter 6. Do you remember the time when Jesus feeds the 5,000? And then immediately he's got thousands of people following him. But he saw their hearts. Just as he saw Martha's heart, he saw the hearts of the thousands. That actually they weren't following him because they wanted him to be Lord. They followed him because he gave him some nice bread the previous day. What did Jesus say? And he spoke about this thing of, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And I can understand how that would have offended everyone. It seems crazy. What are you saying, Lord? But the reality is this, unless we commune of God, unless I am hungering for the Lord, I can't do this on my own terms. But basically he says that and then everyone leaves. Imagine that. You build a mega church overnight and then the next day it's gone. You've got these thousands of people who just leave. But rightfully so, because they weren't following Jesus for the right reasons. Then he turns to his disciples. And I can't even picture how this would have been. Turns to his disciples and he says, and you guys as well? What does Peter say? I love this. He says, Lord, where else would we go? Where else can I go? You alone hold the words of eternal life. Jesus, you alone hold the words of eternal life. Notice Peter didn't say, no, of course, God. No, this is chilled. Chilled, bro. Cool. He didn't recognize that, oh, this is actually pretty easy. He says, despite the discomfort here, I would not be anywhere else. Better is one day in your house, Lord, than thousands elsewhere. Oh, God, let that be our heart. That as we see the things happening in the world around us, that we would not conform to the image of this world. That looks very flashy. Looks amazing. Looks like it's so much, you know, financial gain and popularity. But that's not the fruit that God wants us to bear. He wants fruit that lasts. Beautiful thing he says to Martha. He says, see, Mary has chosen the good portion. She's chosen to seek my face. She's chosen to value my presence more than things. And what else does he say to her? He says that, and this won't get taken away from her. What a beautiful promise. I feel like all of us can relate to when we've given of our time and we've given of our effort towards building things, many, many things, and it feels like it just slips out of our hands. Oh, what a disappointment. When we've given ourselves to relationships or building businesses or raising children, and our efforts can feel like they were wasted. Oh, no, it's real. It's real. But Jesus is pointing to this nature that as we seek his face first, as we choose to abide in him, then we'll bear much fruit. It'll be fruit that lasts. And Jesus wants us to bear fruit that's going to last. Eternal riches, eternal reward for his glory, for his fame. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. God, this thing can be challenging. God, this thing can be a mess sometimes. But Lord, I'd rather be with you in the boat when it's storming than try just be out there trying to paddle on my own. As we're coming into a conclusion and kind of landing this plane, I think it's a relevant question to ask us, like, why are we doing this? Why am I talking about abiding in God? Why am I even up here talking about this thing? Why am I talking about being devoted to Jesus instead of distracted? Why? For me, it's abundantly clear that we're doing all of this thing not to try and be special, but because we're responding to what Jesus has already done. We're people who are responding to what God has done. We're not just getting up here, just doing our best. The reality is there is a God who is holy, who made the whole universe. And and as you've been singing this morning, that he's the gospel of God. He is the good news. What is the good news? Oh man, I love talking about this. This is not even just a thing for when we first get born again. This is the hope of our lives. Jesus was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, the perfect God. Came and lived a perfect life, sinless life. And he came and he died on a cross. He gave up his life willingly because we're sinful. We messed up. We couldn't save ourselves. It was hopeless. It's like trying to jump across the Grand Canyon. It's impossible. But he came and he bridged the gap between us and the Father. We love him because he first loved us. And we're wanting to do this as a response to him. God, I see that you laid down your life for me. I see that you gave everything. Jesus, you were devoted to me when I didn't deserve it, Lord. Romans 5 says that he shows his love for us by dying for us when we were his enemies. It's one thing to lay your life down for a good guy, but to lay your life down for enemies. Whew. The mercy of God, the beautiful grace of Jesus has been poured out to us. And we've given our lives to follow him and to say, yes, Lord, save me. We've given our lives to this thing. And it's the greatest joy because we know that, what did I say earlier? He doesn't just hold the words of temporary life. He alone holds the words of eternal life. That there's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And we've got the privilege of knowing him. And as I conclude this thing, I do want to ask us two questions. The reality of, for those of us who know the Lord, who have actually received his saving us, we've received a salvation. Is he still our one thing? Is he still the name above all names for me? Is he still the one that I place above my life, my career, my job, my relationships? Is he still on the throne? God wants us to always be lifting him up. And that's a response that we can make today. And for another group of us who maybe don't actually know the Lord, there's some of us today that maybe have never actually given him our lives. There's a response today that you can come and say, Jesus, I want to proclaim you as my king for the first time. Or maybe we said it before, and then actually tonight, today is an opportunity to come and say it again, that God, I want to give you my life again. I see it again, Lord. I see what you've done for me. And I'm compelled. My heart's touched. I want to actually respond to you and give you my life. Save me, God. Lead me in your ways. The last thing I want to say as we conclude, as we close down, in Psalm 95, it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And this is the word of God. This is an urge for all of us that today, as we're listening to this, you're not listening to me, you're not listening to Dave, you're listening to the word of the Lord. As we hear the word of the Lord today, let us not harden our hearts. Why does it say that? Because if our hearts are hard, we're not sensitive. If our hearts are hard, we're not going to feel him. We're not going to feel his touch. And if I can't feel his touch, then I can't respond, and then I'm not going to follow him. Let's have soft hearts today. Let's respond to the Lord. Ona, maybe can we close our eyes? I'd love if maybe the keyboarders can come up. Let us respond to the Lord today. Let us think about him. Let our hearts take in this word that God has prepared for us. And let us respond rightly to him. Let's take a moment even just to wait on him and say, thank you, Lord, for your truth. God, we fix our eyes on you right now. Thank you that you are powerful. Jesus, I thank you that you are the name above all names. Oh, and that, Lord, you are the King. You're the King, Lord. There's no one like you, Jesus. I thank you that you're moving right now, Lord. Thank you for your power, God. Even in this place, for those of us, as you've been listening to me, listening to the word of God, if you're in the place of actually saying, Dave, I've never actually surrendered my life to Jesus. I've never actually responded to his good news. I've never received the love of God. I've never chosen to lay down my life and follow Him and to receive a new life in Him. I know that the Lord wants to come and He wants to breathe life into you. And He wants you to lay down your life and to follow Him, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. So in this place, with every eye closed, every head bowed, I would love if we can pray for you. So if you're in this place and you've actually never given your heart to Jesus, can you raise up your hand so we can see you and we can actually pray for you and thank God for moving in your heart? So if that's you, I'd love to just see your hand and we can pray for you. I'm not going to rush this moment. Thank you, Lord. That's cool. For those of us who are listening and we're actually touched in our heart and we felt the Lord challenging us and felt the Lord convicting us, this is a beautiful opportunity to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word and to respond to the Lord and to say, actually, Jesus, I want to step forward. I want to receive what you've said to me today, and going forward, I'm going to set you as my king, set you as my one thing. If that's you, let's stand. Let's go forward. Only if you're really feeling God touch your heart, but come, let's stand and let's respond to Jesus today in a fresh way. So I would encourage you, if you're feeling challenged, come. Let's find grace for this moment. Let's find grace that actually we're going to go forward with the Lord. We are not going to back down. We're not going to be those who are timid. We're going to say, Jesus, you are my King. If you're responding, I'd love to. Maybe let's come to the front and let's pray. Awesome. So I'd love, for those who are responding, let's come to the front. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in hearts. Thank you, God. We'll get guys to pray in a moment, but I feel this is a beautiful time of coming and responding to Jesus, responding to the face of Jesus and saying, God, I love you. God, I devote myself to you. I'm going to tear down every other lover, every other thing in my life and just say, oh, I want to devote myself to you, Lord. For a moment, let's respond to the Lord Jesus, and then in a second, maybe we can pray. We can see how it goes. Thank you, Lord.